This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning. Welcome. We're Grant and Danny, and it's Wednesday, and you're locked in to 106.7 The Fan. At 11 a.m., Michael Phillips of the Richmond Times-Dispatch on the Skins, and at 1 p.m., Albert Breer of the MMQB and Sports Illustrated on the NFL's Final Four at 1. Danny, how we feeling?
Buddy, sports night last night was fun and festive. Two local college teams were involved. You'd say three. Virginia Tech's on our station. That was a butt-whooping UVA put down on Virginia Tech. Georgetown, similarly to what they had against St. John's last week, were the better team for most of the game, had them under their thumb, and let Marquette, a good club in their building, escape with a win. Happens when you have, you know, a bunch of freshmen, a couple sophomores as your main players besides Jesse Govan. But a good ball game there at Capital One Arena. And the Caps, I don't think, had a game scheduled last night. Or maybe they weren't quite sure that they did.
No, they didn't play last night.
Yeah, that was something.
Caps were off last night. So every night that the Caps play, as you know, I'm over in Bethesda watching the games, doing the pre and the post. I do shows called Face Off and Overtime. And if you ever want to check them out, an hour before and 30 minutes after the game on NBC Sports Washington, I host those shows. Well, the other part of that obligation is that after the second period, I do what is called a Facebook Live, where I get on Facebook with whoever my analyst is that night, and we talk about the first 40 minutes of the game. Well, last night, it was an absolute bloodbath at that point.
Sure.
In Nashville. And so Al Kokin and I went and sat down, and there was nothing to talk about. And I mean, you could talk about a lot of the things that were going on that were terrible. But I said to him, I said, hey, how about we just talk about movies the entire time as a bit? And he's like, okay, I like movies. That's fine. So we're on for about 10 minutes, and we talked about movies the entire time. And I said, the Caps playing a game right now. You're a big Goodfellas guy, right, Al? And so the way it worked was he would reference an actor or something or a director, and then I would bring up another movie I like that guy in, and we just kind of went like 60 degrees.
You did like a big movie circle? Yeah.
I would say it played for about 75 to 80% of the audience. There are a lot of unfunny Capitals fans, apparently.
I have noted that.
Now, I love most of them. But you would have thought we personally wronged some people. There are a couple of people like, talk about hockey. We have things to get to the bottom of here.
Yeah.
It was just the kind of night where the last thing in the world you wanted to do if you're a Caps fan was continue to watch that game.
But it somehow was your fault. They're taking that on you. They don't have like another outlet to
yell at. Well, kind of was my fault because they came to us for this hockey breakdown that they weren't getting. But have a little fun. We're talking about what's eating Gilbert Grape and Leonardo DiCaprio and how he became Leo in the Titanic, and everything's going to be okay. I promise it's going to be fine. This, by the way, is, as a sports fan, weeknights right now, this is probably my least favorite time of the sports calendar.
Really?
Here's why I say that. So there are nights where everything's great, right? But football is no longer. There is no baseball. We're in a dead period before the start of spring training. Although the last couple of years, you've got some of the biggest free agents still available. But I am a home viewer. I want to sit on my couch and do nothing from like 8 p.m. on.
Sure.
I need a good game to keep me company.
I get you.
Used to play Madden all the time. Don't really play video games anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Made a bad purchase. Went out and got an Xbox One a couple years ago. I think I've used it 3 times. It basically collects dust. I need games on. And it's one of two things. Either I watch games or I watch a movie on TV. I'll go through the HBO and Showtime channels, whatever it is. We have reached the time of the year where about 3 times a week, all that's on is college basketball. And I don't hate college basketball by any means. I actually enjoy watching it from time to time.
But it doesn't butter the bread for you in January.
In January, when it's like Texas A&M and LSU on ESPN, and then you go to ESPN2, and it's BYU and Valparaiso, and then you go to Fox Sports 1, and it's Wisconsin and Iowa I mean, even like good conference games.
It's hard to get excited.
A bunch of teams I don't care about in conferences that mean very little to me. I like Georgetown basketball. They played a home game last night. I go to some of their home games still. I've told you many times. My wife's a season ticket holder. So I'll watch their game. They have a great deal, the Big East does, on FS1 with good broadcasters. But other than them, it's just like clicking around at random games with random dudes that don't matter to me. To me, this is my dead zone.
See, I don't think this compares or is anywhere close to the All-Star break in Major League Baseball.
But that's like 2 days.
The July nothingness. There's a week leading up to, there's no other sports but baseball going on. Occasionally, every 4 years, you'll have like a World Cup on the horizon or something like that. But to me, that's the worst time. Is basically, there's a week where there's one baseball game that we're all leading up to. That is the driest and most bleak wasteland in sports.
But it's literally 4 days without games. Two of which are the Home Run Derby and the All-Star Game. They play until Sunday. You have the Home Run Derby on Monday. You have the All-Star Game on Tuesday. Okay, so that's great television, both of those. You don't have to like those, but it's good, entertaining superstars on display television. Wednesday is off and Thursday is off. It's 48 hours. And then Friday, you get 29 straight days with a game again. It's 2 days.
That's kind of the Seinfeld bit. It's like, it's 2 days, really. It's longer than that.
Literally, we just went through the schedule.
I know what you said. I'm aware of all the words. It feels longer than that, and you know it. You know, coming in and trying to do a sports radio program, we're going, what are we going to talk about? I have no idea. There's no news unless Bruce Allen did something stupid.
In terms of content, though, you've got the brink of NFL training camp. So you are about 7 to 10 days away from camps opening around the country. So there's generally a storyline or two. You know, you've got people and negotiations ongoing for, you know, whether it's Kirk Cousins or somebody else, you're going to get the franchise tag or whatever. Like, I'm not even saying this is a lull in news. There's no shortage of news right now. You've got the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball free agency. I'm saying lazy fat me who wants to sit on his couch and watch something.
Uh-huh.
I've got to watch, and most of the time it's good, but like random Western Conference NBA game that I can get enjoyment out of, but I don't have a horse in that race. Or I can watch college basketball obscure anonymity, and it's January.
Yeah, it's not that great.
It's just not a good time.
No, I'm not now, sitting here stumping for the time.
It seems like you love this week in sports. It seems like.
No, I like it when the Caps are playing, and
yeah.
This is a good college hoops year, but in general,
and it's worse for you right now because, like, for me, I have the chance for the Caps or the Wizards. You've sworn off watching Wizards.
That's right.
Games.
Until Ernie Grunfeld is fired, I will not watch the Wizards.
So you're not going to watch the Wizards. So unless the Caps are playing, you're basically committed at that point to what? Some college hoops and some random NBA?
A lot of Netflix.
That's how you're mowing through these shows.
Yeah. A lot of Netflix. And I am a gamer, so I got no problem there.
How much gaming do you get in on average, like on a night like last night?
Last night, none, because little guy's teething again. So that was the seventh circle of hell. I'm on about 2 hours of sleep. But generally,
but would you say you play video games on average most weeknights?
I'd say 60%. Usually, average probably an hour a night.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. It's not what I want. It's not what I want, which is 14 hours a day, never leaving my house and not talking to anybody. That's the goal, but I'm not there yet.
This is the only time of the year where I think about adding a hobby.
Yeah, because it's dark already at like 5:15, right, and you're bored. It'd be a great time to have a hobby.
It'd be cool if I had skills and I could do stuff around my house. This would be a perfect time to get things done. Oh, let me fix this bathroom fan that doesn't work.
Could you imagine being able to do that?
No,
could you imagine looking at something in your home and going, I have what it takes to rectify the situation? That's a dream scenario for me.
Something isn't spinning correctly, like some device isn't working, and I'll go grab some tools.
I know the appropriate tool and what to do with it. Right now, I'm Grant. I can't imagine that feeling.
This would be the time of the year to start mowing through those.
You know how cool that must feel to be able to do that? Like, I always say this as a comic. The coolest I could possibly be is less cool than the least cool, like, third guitar player at some indie rock band that plays a garage in Brooklyn once a year. Just like how the scale of coolness. Like, if you play a guitar in public, people are going to love you. Nobody really cares about my stupid insecurity jokes. The level of cool, I think, now as an adult, like a homeowner, like a married guy, like I've got kids. The ability to not have to go, do we have to call the plumber? Do right. I need to call the handyman? Like, to be able to just do that yourself.
Well, I know what it would feel like. That's a dream. Because I have feelings of satisfaction and fixing problems occasionally. And, I mean, these are things that everyone can do. Like, oh, my car's out of gas. I'll go fill it up.
I have restored gas to the vehicle.
I get that feeling when I drop my car off for an oil change and I pick it up and I no longer need an oil change. And I leave there and I go, my car has oil.
I've
took care of that.
I've completed a task.
It's like going to the post office.
Mm-hmm.
I need to send this mail off. I need to send this check off, whatever it is. I'll run to the post office. I'll get the right envelope. I'll put it on a stamp. Then someone else will actually do the heavy lifting, the work for me. But I walk out and I feel like $1 million. You pay a bill, same thing. You get that feeling where you go, I just paid the cable bill. Awesome. So I know what it would feel like. I'll just never experience it from actually fixing
something on a big scale
with these soft, baby-like hands that I have. These child's hands. Feel these hands. Your hands are as soft as mine, by the way.
Well, my calluses are all gone. My calluses are all gone. It took years, but they're all gone.
I mean, you supposedly lifted things and carried it up steps in New York at some point as a mover.
Yeah, it's all gone now.
Your hands don't tell that story.
They don't feel that way now. It took a few years, but they're all gone.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. We have reached the final four in the NFL. Of the four teams remaining, as a Redskins fan, who will you pull for this weekend, Championship Sunday, and in the Super Bowl? Pick a horse. You're going to the track with us next on Grant and Danny.
Grant and Danny for Window Nation. You ever watched HGTV for a little home remodeling inspiration? Maybe you've attended a home show or two to brainstorm with local contractors? Well, if you don't have time for the home shows this season, Window Nation wants to bring those home show savings right to you and your front door all this month. Call them today and mention the home show promo to get two free windows for every two you buy. You buy four, you get four. There's no limit.
Plus, for a limited time only, 0% financing for 18 months. That's a year and a half. Call today and get educated on the newest models and latest innovations demonstrated right in the comfort of your own home. You don't even have to leave, and it's absolutely free. You're going to get factory incentives plus once-a-year home show discounts from the company that has installed over 450,000 windows in more than 80,000 homes. Mine was one, and so was Danny's. So let's get the show on the road. Get two free windows for every two you buy, plus 0% financing. You've got to call Window Nation at 866-90-NATION or go to windownation.com.
Tell them Grant and Danny sent you Window Nation for your home because it's where you live.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Grant and Danny welcoming you back on 106.7 The Fan at 10:30, bottom of the hour. We'll update you on the Redskins' hunt for improvements on their coaching staff. They've actually lost one assistant, potentially, who is interviewing with the Green Bay Packers for a lateral move, and they lost out on Greg Williams, who they wanted, who's now with the Jets. We'll get into that and more on their coaching staff in a little over 10 minutes. We've got our final four set in the NFL. Conference Championship Sunday. The slate looks good, doesn't it? 3:05 kickoff in the NFC title game. The Rams and the Saints, they've been the two best teams in the NFC all year. Both 13-3. They had a great matchup in New Orleans earlier this season, a shootout that the Saints won in their building, and they'll try to do the same in a handful of days. Meanwhile, in the AFC at 6:40, it sounds like, Danny, the Patriots and the Chiefs could play one of the coldest NFL games in recent history.
Frozen tundra style, man.
Arctic blast situation. I don't know what that means. It's just
the flavor of Gatorade.
It's a phrase that everyone's throwing around now like we all know what it means.
Dude, thank you for saying that real quick. I know that's not the point of this conversation. There are too many things like that have been happening over the last several years. Remember how casually people dropped derecho?
Derecho is
people over derecho'd. That means right or straight in Spanish, depending on usage. Don't just casually drop derecho like we all know what that is. Arctic blast, derecho, settle down, say that it's going to be high winds.
What's the
it's
new thing?
It's going to be cold.
You get on Twitter, everyone's like, we've got an Arctic blast that's separated, and we've got winds coming from the nor'easter. No one knows what they're talking about.
No one knows what that
and
means.
And everyone should just admit they don't know what they're talking
Stop
about.
Casually saying that.
Here's what you should do. Wake up in the morning, ask Alexa what the temperature is going to be. Okay?
Is it going to be cold and is the wind blowing?
That robot in that little device that's in your kitchen knows more than you do about nor'easters and Arctic circles and Arctic blasts and whatever else we're talking about. But the bottom line is, unless you went to meteorology school, you're just perpetuating this phrase that is evidence that the Chiefs and the Patriots are going to play in frigid temperatures. Supposedly, it's going to be sub-zero at Arrowhead Stadium. New England has played plenty of cold weather games. Tom Brady played his college football at Michigan. Not going to faze him at all. Meanwhile, Kansas City is used to playing in the frigid temperatures. They just played in a snow game, in air quotes, against their previous round opponent, who they destroyed, by the way, and really didn't give a chance to, in the Indianapolis Colts. That game kicks off at 6:40. So you got your doubleheader, one on Fox, one on CBS, 3.5 hours apart on Sunday. Here's the question. You're a Redskins fan, most of you, like I am and like Danny is. It's the time of the year where you got to figure out who you're going to root for. We talked about this going into the Elite Eight games and at the start of the playoffs. Well, now we've got to revise this. Who are you pulling for on Sunday? Who will you put your passion behind? Nobody thinks you're going to wear a jersey or paint your face.
You don't have to do that.
I get it. But you're going to get invested in some way. You're going to hope that one of these team wins. Who's it going to be? 800-636-1067. We now know that either the Rams, Saints, Patriots, or Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl. Who do you want it to be? That's the question on Grant and Danny.
My hierarchy, as you know, once the Redskins are eliminated in October, usually, sometimes November, in this case it lasted until December, is to root against the NFC East. My mission there is complete. It is done. Dallas has lost, thank God. Philadelphia has lost, thank God.
That's another reason this becomes a really compelling question with a difficult answer now in D.C. It was super easy last week to pick teams to root for because you wanted the Cowboys beaten and the Eagles destroyed.
That's a layup. That's not even shooting fish in a barrel. It's, to quote Todd Berry, standing near a barrel. That's how easy that was to make those calls. Now, I just like the Patriots to end. I want this to be over. It's not going to be over. They are the Undertaker at WrestleMania. They are undead. They're vampires. You cannot kill them. Like the original vampire, even if you stake them, he turns into a bat. Maybe they have clones somewhere. I don't know. But that's basically what I want, is the Patriots to lose. But beyond that, in terms of rooting interest, the other three teams have cool things about them, cool stories, right? Where it's, you know, Drew Brees and how amazing he is in that city, and it's one last ride, presumably, for a guy that's, you know, approaching 40, if not 40 already, and how just great he is. And also shuts people up with that narrative, like, you can't win if you pay your quarterback a lot. Yes, you can, just be smart. The New Orleans Saints have been smart the last couple years. That's why they've been so good. You look at Sean McVay and the New Age Rams. Everybody wants to be like them for a reason. They're cool. They're hip. They're with it. Kansas City, because Andy Reid just has never been successful in the postseason for a million different reasons. Some not his fault, some yes his fault. And the Pat Mahomes renaissance, how far can he take this group, etc. All three compelling storylines. To me, the team I've picked, though, is New Orleans. I always have a soft spot for New Orleans, just generally. I like.
Is it because of how delicious Brennan's was all those days?
That doesn't hurt the equation, tell you that. I've always liked New Orleans as a city. I've always liked that environment, the Superdome, how crazy it is, how much fun it is. I like Drew Brees. I like that team. I like how they're built. I like Sean Payton, a guy that I've always coveted as a coach. Their operation, to me, is something I've pulled for a number of years. I got a soft spot for them, and I like the city a lot. And I think it would be great for Drew Brees to get another one to silence all the idiots who only cite quarterback record and decided Drew Brees wasn't any good because they went 7-9 three straight years. I love them having to confront fact.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I don't know how many people are out there that are telling you Drew Brees isn't that good, but I'm rooting for him because he's a classy guy. He's one of my favorite players in the league, and he's one of the greatest quarterbacks who's ever lived. And I want those guys to have more than a Super Bowl. Now, you get enough Super Bowls like Tom Brady, and I get tired of you, and I don't necessarily root for you.
There's a sweet spot there, yeah.
He has not reached that line of demarcation. In fact, I could feel great about any of the Rams, Saints, or Chiefs winning the Super Bowl. Kansas City, it's new. It's different. It's been forever. Andy Reid finally gets his. Pat Mahomes enters a stratosphere he hadn't been in. And a team gets rewarded for being out of the box and doing something unique and being transcendent offensively. They don't want to be, quote-unquote, physical and beat you up and establish the run. They don't care about any of that crap. I would love to see them win a Super Bowl not caring about any of that. The Rams is my answer. That's who I want to win the Super Bowl, and it's very selfish, and it's all about me in this regard.
Sure.
I love Sean McVay.
It's your rooting interest, man.
I've got a good relationship with and I'm still friendly with Sean McVay. I keep in close touch with him as best I can, and I want good things for that guy. He has been good to me. He's an awesome human being, and I think he's an outstanding head coach. And for that reason, I want him to win a Super Bowl. He's already become the youngest coach to ever win a playoff game, and he would be the youngest coach, obviously, to ever win a Super Bowl. So I want Sean McVay to do that. That's why I'm rooting for the Rams. My number two team would be the Chiefs because it's different and fun. My number three teams would be the Saints. And by the way, I'm pulling for the Saints as well because, first, again, I think they've done it right for a long, long time. And if you want to talk about selfish rooting interests, my boy Jermon Bushrod from King George High
School. There you go. That's right.
Is on that team. So when the Redskins are out, I can kind of be a little bit more of a fan and enjoy it that way.
Because I just like the sport, man, you know?
New England, I'm not going to be angry. I'm not going to be upset. You earned it. Belichick's the greatest that's ever lived.
Dude, they're great.
Brady's one of the best I've ever seen. They've got a good thing going. But my power rankings would be 1, Rams, 2, Chiefs, 3, Saints, because they've won one very recently with Breeze at quarterback,
mm-hmm.
and the Patriots, 4.
Saints, 1. Chiefs 2, Rams an apologetic cringe 3, because I wouldn't be upset if the Rams won at all. I would actually like it.
That's how I feel about the Saints.
Yeah, the only thing that I wouldn't enjoy is another Patriots win. I've had enough.
There's three ways I'll be real happy.
Yeah, it's already the greatest dynasty in the history of sports. It's already the most incredible thing that's ever happened. Enough.
Curious to see what Redskins fans think, and we will take your temperature on this next. We'll go wall-to-wall with your calls. 800-636-1067. Who are you rooting for with 4 teams left standing?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
In 4 days, 4 teams will become 2. We'll know who's playing in the Super Bowl. Welcome back, Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan, your Redskins coaching staff update at 10:45. But we want to know who you're pulling for. I'm going to be an L.A. Rams guy down the stretch here in the NFL playoffs. But I'm very content, very happy for, very thrilled if the Chiefs or the Saints win either.
I'm a go Saints guy with that funny Louisiana spelling that they think is so charming and cute with like an E, an A, a U, and an X. I love New Orleans. I love Drew Brees. I love that organization, you know, non-Redskins division, obviously. They're the team I root for as soon as the Redskins are done. I've always liked them. I don't know why. I don't have great reasoning, but just that environment, how cool it is. They're not our rivals. We don't have a rival here, but I'd be happy with anybody but the Patriots.
Dan's in Fairfax. Skins fan Dan, who you pulling for in the championship games on Sunday?
Grant and Danny, how are you today?
Hey, Dan. Doing well, buddy.
I know it's going to be hard for Brady and the Patriots, but 2 years ago I saw Pat Mahomes on John Gruden's show where he interviews quarterbacks, and he is so intelligent. He can make sidearm throws and three-quarter throws. They showed a video of him throwing a pass 70 yards, which I thought was awesome. And I love the Rams and Sean McVay, former Jared Goff and Gurley should do well, but it's going to be tough to beat the Saints at home. They have a lot of weapons, too, with Breeze and Kamara. It should be a close game, maybe 38-35, something like that.
If we get a shootout in the mid-30s decided by 3 points, that will be a classic, and I would be ecstatic.
I'll be all in.
Mahomes, you got to root for. You have to hope for good things for this guy. By all accounts, he's a legit, decent human being. He's 23 years old, and he just threw 50 touchdown passes. What else needs to be said? He's 23, and he just threw for 5,000 yards and had a quarterback rating of 114. Now, remember when they moved on from Alex Smith and everyone said, that's a playoff team. What are they thinking? They're putting a lot on his plate.
Oh.
Guess Andy Reid knew more than people that weren't in that building,
than
huh?
Than us.
He did it again, by the way.
Yes, he did.
Please never make a trade with Andy Reid again, ever. I don't care if you're trying to trade an apple for his pudding at recess. I don't care.
If he calls, you unplug the phone.
Stop making trades with Andy Reid immediately.
If the caller ID says Reid, Andy, you do not answer that call. You let it go to voicemail and you don't call him back.
Hey, Andy, it's Bruce. I'm under strict orders to never talk to you again. Good luck this weekend. Click. That's how that should go.
Mm.
Kenny and Charlotte, you're on the fan.
Gentlemen, I was really hoping during the last segment you would have helped me seek some vindication here. All right, so I'm in Charlotte now. I'm a diehard Redskin fan from the D.C. area my whole life. I've always been a Redskin fan. I always will be. In the early 2000s, when New England went on their run, it was improbable at first. They won their first ring with Brady and Belichick as underdogs.
Yep.
They beat the Eagles, man. The Eagles had McNabb, and they just crapped all over us year in and year out. It was at that time that I gravitated towards rooting for the Patriots in the playoffs. When the Redskins are not in it, they get it done. They're organizationally sound. They just do everything right, man. And, you know, the Ravens came back a few years ago talking about cheating, and then I did some research and found out that George Allen used to have his office swept for bugs weekly because Tom Landry was listening in on practices. And I'm ostracized and outcast, you know, by the local fan base because I see the Patriots as everything that I would want the Redskins to be. So I'm in the minority here.
No, Kenny, I think you're onto something.
Thank you.
I respect what you're saying. You've got a gear that I don't have where in this country, for whatever reason, we prey on the best and we kind of root for downfalls. I, years ago and for a long time, rooted against Tom Brady. I couldn't stand him. I found him to be annoying. I thought his sideline tantrums were a lot to deal with, and everyone said, oh, he just wants to win, but when someone else does it, they're a jerk. I was not a Tom Brady guy, and at some point I realized, I had the same epiphany with LeBron James and Alex Rodriguez, among others. I just rooted against players who were great, and as I got older and more mature, I stopped doing that. I don't actively root against New England. I admire them greatly. I love what they've done. Do I think that Spygate was a thing that happened, that they recorded teams and got an advantage? Yes, I do. Do I think that Tom Brady knowingly deflated footballs? Absolutely. I had someone with the I told this story on the air before, but somebody with the Redskins staff here at FedEx told me years ago he'd offered him money. He's like, hey, make sure this football gets into the game. Like, I know that he was doing weird stuff with footballs. I don't care about any of that. I just don't. I think that every team tries to get an advantage and cuts corners and does little things here and there. And it just so happens we know about two very big examples with the Patriots. My uncle always says, if you don't cheat, you don't want to win bad enough. I don't quite prescribe to that theory or subscribe to that theory. But my point is, I don't hold it against the Patriots like a lot of people do. I think, by and large, they're smarter. Bill Belichick's better. Tom Brady's better. And that's how they get where they go.
Now, I do hold it against them. I hate them. I'm so sick of them. But I can also spin a different plate and have ultimate reverence for the organization. What they've done in this era of parity is more impressive than the Boston Celtics for all those years. More impressive than UCLA, where they just had better teams than everybody else. This dynasty, where they've made 8 straight AFC title games, all the Super Bowls that they've gotten to, won and lost, etc., is the most impressive sports accomplishment ever. And I mean that. I'm not using hyperbole. That's ever. In an era where they don't let teams be successful for very long because the salary cap, player movement, the system they have in place is remarkable. I also want it to end. I'm sick of it. I'm tired of seeing their dumb faces.
I go back and forth on that, and my undulation comes from, I think you're right. If you really, you know, put a gun to my head and said, is it the most impressive or not, I would say yes. But I talked yesterday about some of the holes in the theory a little bit, which is their division has been bad for years and years. They get partial credit for that, but they don't help Buffalo continue to stink. I mean, the Dolphins have never been anything. They're Redskins-esque. I think they have like one 10-win season in the last bunch of years. The Jets have gone up and down, but are mostly down and have never really posed a threat. So when you just get to win your division every year, you basically get to be in the division championship round every single season, You're going to get to a lot of conference championship games. Eight in a row, though, is a show, and we shouldn't take away from them because no one does that. There's other bad divisions. Nobody figures out a way. Kevin, Pennsylvania, who you pulling for?
Good morning, guys. How are you today?
Hey, buddy.
Good. You forgot a winter word. Don't forget the polar vortex word.
Oh, polar vortex.
You're just so casually talking about
the polar
vortex.
I do hear that buzz phrase. Another one I don't know what it means.
Okay, you do. But anyway, so
good for you.
I'm kind of pulling, I guess, for the Rams for the Sean McVay factor being an ex-Redskin coach. And I always like New Orleans, too. So it's like, you know, I don't know who to go, but I guess I'd have to go more for the Rams and then the Saints and then the Chiefs, of course, because like I said, it's just somebody different than New England. They are a great organization, but I think both games are going to be really fantastic, I think.
Well, I also think this, too. I don't know that people have started thinking about this yet, but remember the Chiefs-Rams game on Monday Night Football?
Mm-hmm.
And how that was the most incredible game of the season?
Until, yeah.
We're a couple hours of football going our way away from that being the Super Bowl match.
I know.
Which I think would be amazing. Also, it's just different. Chiefs-Rams, those two uniform combinations, those two organizations, you don't think about them very often. It's just a change of pace. I want a change-up thrown, Tyler Clippard, Bugs Bunny style over home plate in this year's Super Bowl.
The Chiefs have been very, very good, but haven't had the playoff success. The Rams were as downtrodden as anybody, really, since 99, early 2000s. They were a joke. They were terrible. They got to the point they were so bad that people stopped caring that their owner got to move them.
New Orleans has not played New England, believe it or not, in the Breeze era, which is kind of crazy to think about because they flirted with a bunch of Super Bowls and they got to and won one against, actually, it was Peyton Manning in Indianapolis that year in 2010. But that would be different because we haven't seen the matchup. But it's two of the hallmark teams of the last 9 years that at the beginning of the season we said, best team in the AFC, one of the best teams in the NFC. Rams-Chiefs is just unique. Josh and Alexandria, you're on the Fan.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I'm kind of complete opposite of the last caller. I don't want to see Sean McVay win it just because, you know, that guy was in the building and we let him get away. So, I 2 years after he leaves us, I'd kind of be beside myself if he won a dang Super Bowl. But, you know, I hated the Patriots 10 years ago. And, like, you know, the older I get, the more I respect what they do.
Same.
And I just think Brady versus Breeze in the Super Bowl would be phenomenal. I would have to watch that. Ultimately, pulling for Breeze to edge out the Patriots like 35-32 or something crazy like that. And, you know, let Drew get his second chip so he can have everybody set up about him.
It would be great. And by the way, it doesn't really matter which permutation we get and how it works out. We're going to get two elite offenses.
Yeah.
We're going to get two high-octane, high-profile, great scoring offenses. We're going to get really strong quarterback play. I mean, the one guy of the four who just isn't on the same level right now is Jared Goff. And at one point, up until maybe 6 or 7 weeks ago, people were starting to put him into that top 5-8 mix in the NFL, and he's just cooled off considerably. We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. There is a Redskins coaching update. An assistant could be on the move, leaving for a lateral job, even though he's under contract. So they could lose another member of the defensive staff. Plus, they missed out on another high-profile name as a defensive coordinator. The details next on G&D here on The Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Let me bounce this off of you, Danny, because it's something I think about each morning.
Go ahead, shoot.
As I get dressed to come into the studio.
Mm-hmm.
So when I go into the night job a few times a week, I put on a different shirt than I wear to work.
Okay? With you so far?
So let's say I'm coming into the radio station. I never would really like go T-shirt and shorts and go completely casual and look like a slob. But I will wear probably jeans most days and either sometimes a T-shirt and be super comfortable, or more often than not, a polo shirt like a dry fit.
Uh-huh.
When I go in to do TV, though, the dress on the show that I'm on is basically, I mean, you can wear whatever you want, but I like to wear button-down shirts.
Sure.
So a lot of times I will take a button-down shirt out of the closet, take it off a hanger, get dressed around 4 o'clock, and drive into Bethesda, and then I wear that button-down at work until 11:30 when I get home and I take it off.
This is the dude's quandary. I think I know where you're going with this.
The next morning I wake up and I decide, okay, do I want to now throw this shirt into like a pile saying it's been worn, it's done, I'm not wearing it again? Of course, I could also just hang it back up and wear it on TV again a couple weeks later. Or do I get a little more run out of it?
Right.
So the thing that I'm always cognizant of, though, the reason this is on my mind, I wouldn't care if no one knew. But most of the time, the TV behind us is on NBC Sports Washington.
Right.
So inevitably, during the show at some point, the TV shows the show that I did last night, and Tom or someone will call attention and be like, hey, nice shirt. And I look behind me, and I'm wearing the same shirt, and this happens once a week or so.
Okay.
I'm wearing right now the shirt I wore last night.
Right.
But I only wore that shirt after I took it off the hanger from being dry cleaned for a total of 5 hours, let's say. Is it taboo? Am I doing something wrong? Is it a ugh kind of thing that I throw it back on today?
It doesn't bother me. It's different audiences.
But
right?
What are the rules?
One's a local. So there are people do this differently. This is about laundry. That's at the end of the day, this is really and truly about laundry. The gray area of I wore this but it's not dirty is different for every person. For some people, if that shirt touches your back, the instant you take it off, it's dirty.
You can't wear it a second time.
You cannot do it again.
And can I say this real quick?
Yes, please.
If I wore a shirt all day, and certainly if I wore it here, I would never wear the same shirt to work two straight days.
Right. If you had a full 12-hour day in your shirt, and you would never double down on that shirt.
A, it looks weird, and it's just unbecoming. But B, and this is more important to what you're saying, if I wore the shirt from when I leave my house at 8 a.m. to when I get home at midnight, that shirt got a day's usage. It's over. But this shirt
didn't get a full day.
It doesn't even get a half day.
It didn't get a day.
It's the second job. It's 7 hours, 8 hours, whatever it is. I think it's fine.
I guarantee you it's fine. Now, some people have a higher tolerance for this than others. Some people have a different threshold. A great conflict in our homestead is my wife going, is this dirty? And she doesn't want my explanation. She wants an immediate answer to that.
She needs the
yes
binary.
Or no.
Does it need to be washed?
And I refuse to live in her binary. I'm telling you there's a gray area. So, for example, I have pajama pants that I'll put on, right? After shower, after get all the kids to showered up, clean, like I'll shower or whatever at nighttime. The same pair of pajama pants can be worn 2, 3, 4 nights in a row because I'm only wearing them for hour and a half or not 2 hours.
Do you wash your pajama pants every 4 days?
There's no hard and fast rule about when I'm doing it, but it's the amount of time. If you add up the total time wearing them, I'm also not jogging up and down stairs. I'm not schwitzing in my pajama pants. I'm sitting there. I don't sleep in pajama pants because that would be way too hot. Anybody who does is crazy.
That is insane.
So I'm walking around. I've got my pajama pants on for 90 minutes, maybe, right? And then they're off and it's time for bed.
See, I don't really own or wear pajama pants, but if I did, I would wash them like every couple of weeks, I think. Because is what you're saying, you're just wearing them around your house as your casual clothing. I have gym shorts that I do that in. So like if I'm just sitting there being comfortable, I'm putting on gym shorts. And those gym shorts, if I work out, that's a different story.
Of course.
But if I'm just using them to watch Netflix and a sports match in, they could go 2-3 weeks without getting
worn. It drives my lady wife insane when I have, like I have, same thing with a pair of shorts. Any bit of clothing that I haven't like sweated in or worn for like 9, 10, 12 hours, I could just lay them aside, not where it goes or the mythical place of where it belongs or in its place, all these different things. And I can just have them, so I keep reusing them. I'm not wasting laundry space, like our laundry basket or whatever. It drives her crazy that I can just have those on ready alert. See what I'm saying? Like, she wants them in or out. I refuse to live by those rules. I refuse to be in that box.
I like trying to delve into some laundry rules with you. Someone's going to be scrolling through the podcast, and they're going to see, like, NFL playoffs. And they're going to see, Grant and Danny discuss laundry rules. Might have to click on that one.
The rules of laundry.
Redskins linebackers coach Kirk Alavadadi was granted permission to interview for the exact same job that he has in Washington with the Green Bay Packers. I was told this by multiple people within the last couple of days. I had originally heard the interview was going to be Thursday. I've been told that he has already done some type of preliminary interview with them. He could be the second Redskins assistant under contract with the team right now to leave for another organization. That does not really happen. It is not a good sign. Here's what I would say about that, though. So Oliver Dotti's been here for two stints. He was here from 2000 to 2010 in a bunch of roles, left and went to the University of Georgia, and then came back in 2014 until now. He worked for a short time with Matt LaFleur, now the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, which is partially, I'm sure, why he's getting the call to go check out what they've got going on in Green Bay. I believe the Redskins have blocked some assistance this offseason, from what I was told. They're not allowing everybody to go interview that want to. So Ben Kotwicka got that permission.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously now Greg Minuski, assistant. Kirk Olivadotti got that permission. But I think they are picking and choosing. My guess is if they really can't afford to lose you, they'll say no. If they think, oh, we could probably do okay at that position with someone else, they'll say yes. Still not a good look, and it's an even worse look that, oh, by the way, yesterday, a third defensive coordinating candidate in Greg Williams told them no thank you.
And Joe Woods. There were rumors there as well, so that makes four. In and of itself, saying, hey, a linebackers coach who's been here for a while is moving on to a different job is not that big a deal. But again, you have to look at the big picture. Please look at the context. Everyone sees the writing on the wall, and then the other wall, and then the other wall, and then the other wall. It's a house of horrors. Right? There's nothing but graffiti over this place is sinking. This ship is sinking. Everybody knows it. Everybody underneath Dan and Bruce knows it. And they're scurrying like roaches with the lights on, trying to figure something out. The fact that, and you can, I know you just said, you could say with confidence that other guys have asked for permission to go interview elsewhere, tells you everything you need to know. People want out. People want out and nobody wants in. There's your summary of the Washington Redskins. It used to be, before Bruce, now, and I actually give him credit for this, before Bruce, the Scott Boras method or the Drew Rosenhaus method was to just, you know, call the Yankees or you call the Redskins and you could get the bidding up. And the Redskins would bid against themselves for free agents and they'd overpay, they'd give up draft picks, and teams would just love it when they called. Bruce, by and large, has stopped doing that. Now, Kansas City fleeced him, so did Philadelphia, both Andy Reid productions. But for the most part, they don't overspend all that often anymore. That's to his credit, by the way. Now, they've been too cheap at times, but that's beside the point. This is a bad place right now. Whatever job the Redskins have to offer somebody is probably the 31st or 32nd ranked job in the NFL at that position. That tells you everything you need to know. You're not going to get quality people here with this setup. You're not going to get people who want to come here. You've got to go back to what you did before and pay the we suck tax, right? You got to overpay Marvin Lewis and give him a ton of control to get him to be defensive coordinator. You've got to overpay Bill Callahan to come in and fix the offense. You've got to overpay a free agent who just wants one more payday but to try not to get hurt while he's here and suck the life out of this place before he goes somewhere else. You've got to pay the we stink tax. The only people that don't know or don't care are Dan and Bruce.
Seems that way. They are just in a bad spot on this coaching staff, and a lot of it is timing. A lot of it is the next couple of years. I think the league knows they're in trouble moving forward with the Alex Smith cap penalty, that Jay Gruden with 2 years left is between a rock and a hard place, and getting people to commit to a staff that is going to be shaken up again probably mm-hmm. in a year
yep.
is really difficult. So you might just have to take it on the chin with your staff this coming year, throw together whatever you can, go into the season, see if you can work some magic, and if you can't, maybe it won't matter a whole lot a year from now because you're going to have an entirely reworked and a new look group at Redskins Park potentially. Obviously, that's what Jay Gruden hopes isn't the case, and he's a good enough football coach. Maybe it won't be, but this is going to be a tall order, and he's going to have to do the best coaching job of his career to avoid that.
He's already had to do that a couple times to get them to 8-8, 7-9, exactly. That type range with all the injuries.
Michael Phillips of the Richmond Times-Dispatch on the Redskins next. At 11-18, what would be a bigger concern for you as far as Bryce Harper goes? The Nationals overspending to keep him, or him ending up in Philadelphia playing them almost 20 times a year in the division? What would be a bigger issue for you? We'll get into that on Grant and Danny on The Fan.
G&D, for our pals at EMP 180 Weight Loss, these guys are so good at what they do. It's about accountability. It's about the science. They've got these trained nutrition professionals to give you the industry standard of nutritionally based weight loss in the D.C. area. It works. You can work out. You can't out exercise a bad diet when you get up in age, the same way that I have. I used to be able to outrun it. I can't anymore. My metabolism has slowed down. I've got to do better. EMP 180 has helped me do better. I lost the weight and kept it off.
EMP stands for empowered, because they're going to get you to your empowered weight, your best weight, your playing weight, where you look and feel your best, and most importantly, where you are healthiest. EMP 180, people. My brothers are on the program. They've done an amazing job. One of my brothers sent me a text last night of a healthy meal he was cooking at home. Said he's getting under 200 pounds this week. He once weighed 290 pounds. You got to check out EMP 180, 855-888-0180, 855-888-0180. Call them today. Get yourself a consultation.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.